Psalm 35, we're going to look at two verses, verses 9 and 10. I've entitled this Physical and Joyful Praying. Physical and Joyful Praying. And this is not wise for a preacher to say this, but I don't necessarily have direct application here. I'm going to obviously then rely on the Holy Spirit to make the applications, but there's able to leave with you for application by the Holy Spirit. And physical and joyful praying. So Psalm 35 is a psalmist who is knowing the deliverance of God from oppressors. And then verse 9 says, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him." And that's all we're going to read today. A little phrase caught my eye in reading through this, and that is in verse 10, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? That's the prayer. So if we back up into verse 9, and I'm just going to unpack a few words here and their meanings, but the scripture says, and my soul shall be joyful. The word joyful there has the idea of dancing or spinning around. And we know the name because he's been with us on our prayer call here many times, a guy by the name of Will Lonas, who's a pastor friend of mine here in Greenville. We were on the phone this morning, and we were just talking about the Jewish customs of dancing in prayer, and even dance movements in prayer. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, and you maybe have seen even those who are playing harps and musical stringed instruments, they're often singing prayers, but as they're singing, they're dancing. Now, that may not carry into the West, at least to the US. Maybe it does. And maybe it should, I don't know, but here's this idea: my soul shall be spinning around in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. There's a sense in which it's a joy that just can't be contained in the Lord. Because of God's deliverance, my heart is full of rejoicing. The psalmist goes on to say, it shall rejoice in his salvation. And that word rejoice has to do with being bright and cheerful. We would even say maybe celebrate. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall celebrate in his salvation, in the great work of God. The only person who could do this is God, because I get to see great salvation. My soul is spinning around in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. We could even say, from the tip of my head to the sole of my feet, soles of my feet, my whole being, everything I am is overflowing with gladness because of the deliverance of God. It's almost as if the Hebrew text. The Hebrew languages, which we know in English or another language, but that our human vocabulary is just not enough to describe what's going on in the human heart. This is the physical and joyful praying of the psalmist. But then verse 10 says, all my bones shall say. And I don't know that my bones talk, but the idea is body and strength. So Everything inside of me, so not only from the head of my top of my head to the bottom of my feet, but everything inside also. Everything inside of me is gonna shout, shall say, and that word say can actually mean shout or sing. So we go back to this, even this idea of Hebrew practice of physical animation during singing and praying. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? This is a prayer. Everything inside of me is going to shout, there's no one like you, Lord. You're in a category by yourself. This is intensity. This is intensity in prayer, intensity in adoration. And in my notes, I just have a little side comment to myself that I'll make to you as well. But into what do I put our, do we put, do I put my intensity? Now, what do I put my greatest strength into? Is my greatest strength put into my praying, into my adoration of God? Or is my greatest strength put into something earthly or human? The psalmist says, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? Which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him. I'm going to call this maybe an application of revival. So we have someone who is, we'll say, and I don't know if this translates into other cultures, but in the US we say that they are down and out. Okay, they are at the end of their rope. We could even say somebody who has had spiritual life and yet sin has sapped that strength out of their, they're away from the Lord, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him. They feel trapped. When God works in their heart, they find revival. Okay, there's an application there. And then the next phrase could even have the idea of awakening. Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. So we have someone who cannot solve their own problem. Can't do it. They're trapped also. And this could be somewhat of an awakening in their heart. But I'd like to just have us dwell on this matter of physical and joyful praying. And it may manifest itself differently in different personalities. I'm an expressive person physically. Okay. I can get demonstratively engaged with my appendages. That's a lot of big words. I can be pretty animated, even in worship and in preaching. And in verbiage, I don't have a problem saying praise God or hallelujah in a service or amen. Whereas those in my academic church culture would never do that. Okay. I even had one of our pastors say, you'll never get me to say hallelujah. I thought, well, you better get used to it because it's going to come in heaven. But, anyway, that's a little on a side. But I was in an airport with a friend of a while back. We had been ministering to the Lord. It was the first time he had ever done anything. He's a business coach. First time he'd ever done anything on a missions trip. And it was just the two of us. And we sat in the airport in Bangkok, Thailand. And he looked at me and he said, I have never been this fulfilled in my life. And I thought, okay, as I thought about that when I read this, my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto me, unto thee? Now, he would not necessarily be an animated person, depends on, I guess, the context, but his heart was exploding with delight. And I thought, God does that. I mean, this man has been very successful in business, but even that has not brought him fulfillment. Like serving the Lord brings fulfillment. And then on Monday in Denver, Colorado, I was asked by a pastor, how can we change the culture of our church to be a praying culture? Well, I'd never been asked that question. I mean, I've preached on that, but I've never just in a conference room conversation had a pastor ask that question. How do we change this culture? And maybe, I mean, it took me back for a second, but I also then remembered, and this is where I'll just end up with this. I remembered being in a prayer meeting, a Wednesday prayer meeting in Asheville, North Carolina, a few weeks ago. They only have their prayer meeting once a month, but it is a big deal. It is most of the congregation comes to this prayer meeting. And let me describe the prayer meeting for you, and then I think you'll understand why I mentioned this in connection with this text. When you walk into the prayer meeting, they give you a bulletin, if you will. It's basically a one-sided card, heavy stock card, and it says First Wednesday prayer because their prayer meeting is the first Wednesday of every month. It was a long prayer meeting. It was longer than four prayer meetings probably that meet every week. So it was a very long prayer meeting. It starts with about a 5-minute devotion from God's word, just very brief. They're not there to study the Bible, they're there to pray. Then there's a time of confession and meditation on God's word. That was extensive. That was quite a while. Then they had, and this, I don't mean to offend anybody if this is offensive to you, but then they had what they would call a prayer walk, where they walked around. They took on this page, there were several verses of scripture that were taken from the sermons of the month that had already been preached. And they were encouraged to pray these texts back to the Lord. And some people sat in their seats, but most people then walked around the auditorium, large auditorium, walked around the auditorium and just prayed these texts back to the Lord. I was shocked. I was very surprised. I mean, I'd been involved in things like that, but not at this length. I mean, it was probably 20 minutes of just praying out loud, praying quietly. They had a wall of prayer requests that people would go by, and people had written out the cards and put it up on the wall. They go by. I mean, it was physically engaging prayer. And then they had about another 15 minutes where a prayer team lined up against the platform. And if you wanted personal prayer with someone else, which would then turn it into corporate prayer, but if you wanted to be prayed for by the prayer team, then you just went and talked to these people. And that went on for quite a while. And then there was the end of the evening was prayer songs. Now, they had singing at the beginning, very briefly. And then they had lots of singing at the end. And I'm just going to tell you right now that the intensity of the singing was different at the end than the beginning. It was kind of like the wind was in their sails, and there was emotion. There was zeal. There was fervency in their singing. And every one of the songs was a prayer, as many of our songs or hymns are. So it started me on a thought process of this matter of physical and joyful prayer. How does God use our bodies? How do we use our bodies in prayer and even in engaging with the Lord? And I started a list, even this morning, I started a list of how of texts. I'm not going to go through them because I'm out of time, but texts where there was physical action as a result of praying. And God uses our bodies in his in answer to our praying. That, I mean, even in Acts chapter 8, where Philip was in Samaria and the Lord said, "Arise and go to Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went. I mean, there's revival going on, but physical action as a result of walk with the Lord. So, I'll just end with this as a comment, and then, I would just encourage us to even pray this text back. to the Lord today, or maybe pray what God is doing in your heart regarding our intensity of praying. I just wrote two statements. And because I was asked, how do we basically turn a dead prayer meeting into a vibrant culture of prayer this last week, on Monday? And I wrote this down, although this is a very kind of a not a condescending, this is a more of a judgmental, but I've said dead prayer meetings can be the result of dead emotion. So if we're going to walk into a prayer meeting and we're just there because it's prayer meeting, or we're going to walk into a church service, we're just there because it's Sunday, and there's really not an engagement. I often say we ought to worship the Lord all week long and then bring that worship quarterly on Sunday. But it's just an extension of our, if we're not doing that or praying, and our praying is just to go through a prayer list, it's going to be dead. It's going to be lack intensity. But the second phrase that I wrote down this morning was dead prayer meetings could be ignited with intense physical adoration. And I'll just leave that with you to decide, you know, how much involvement you need to be. But I'll tell you what, this has been a season of high school and college graduations, and there's a lot of intense physical rejoicing going on, even demonstrative. And I know that we need to be careful of context, but I just wonder if we bring that much zeal into our prayer meetings, and that much zeal into our worship, would it be that coldness would dissipate? Even overtly academic stuff would dissipate, and there would be the joy of the Lord. Let me just read this text again, and then we'll pray. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. There's lots, even in that phrase, I'd love to park on that. But it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him.